Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this planet a better place. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today and for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area with over 250,000 listeners in over 90 countries. And I just want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful support. Today, we'll be doing just a minute or two at the start of this hour for prayers again, an intention experiment for rain in Australia, followed by an interview with my good friend Simon Parks in England. And then from 3 to 4 p.m., I'll be interviewing a fascinating lady named Judge Anna Von Reitz from Alaska. She's famous for her political and economic studies on how we can make this country a better place. And I'm sure you'll find what she has to say very interesting. The coming new year promises to be a year of many wonderful changes as the planet ascends into the fifth dimension. And I want to thank also want to thank the many sponsors of this show, especially Corey and Saul and Kirkland for their wonderful support. Especially want to thank them for their generous contribution for a new library for the Hopi Indians in Arizona, as well as Minotti Lombardi for his wonderful support. I also thank my friends Mary and Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Jim in London, England, Jan Erik and Emma Louise in Norway, and everyone around the world who helped me raise consciousness to make this world a better place. We're also looking for additional sponsors and advertisers for the show, and any advertising on the show will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. With that, I'd like to thank my good friend Carol, who designs my website and provides wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting the show, my angelic and earthly family, and of course, KKNW and Eric, whose help and support this program would not be possible. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. If you'd like to get in contact with your loved ones who've passed on or contact your guides and get some good spiritual advice, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And you can also call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. Or toll-free at 1-888-879-8339. This month, through the rest of the month, I'm giving discounts on readings for only $50 for a full reading. If you'd like a reading to talk to relatives or family who've passed on or contact your spirit guides and get some good advice, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I'd be happy to help you. On behalf of all the Hopi Indians, I'd like to thank everyone for their beautiful support for their new library and clean water. I'm also continuing to ask for help with their clean water efforts. For only $125, a new clean water filter can be purchased for either the Hopi or the Navajo so they can have clean water without arsenic or radiation. If you'd like to donate, it's a nonprofit donation. Please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I wanted to tell you some amazing things coming up. My next Galactic Wisdom Conference will be on March 13th, 14th, and 15th in 2020, and I hope you can come. If I have a special going on now, it's just $125 for the entire 3-day conference. And if you'd like to register, please go to our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. Among the speakers will be Simon Parks from England, as well as James Redfield, the author of The Celestine Prophecy, Alex Collier, the famous contactee from the Andromeda Galaxy, Michiko Hayashi, the Moto Peace Project, and many other wonderful people. And I hope you can come. If you have any questions, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. In addition, twice this year, from January 23rd to February 7th and May 17th to June 5th, I'll be going to Machu Picchu in Peru to visit one of the world's most spiritual places. We'll be going not only to Machu Picchu, but also Lake Titicaca, the Nazca Lines, and Paracas, which has a museum of hybrid human extraterrestrial skulls. The cost is only $4.97 per person, and if you're interested, please send me an email. Also, I'll be going to Mount Shasta again this year from July 1st to the 8th, and again from August 27th to September 3rd. Miracle healings do occur at Mount Shasta. Last September, my eyesight was restored to crystal clear 20/10 vision in both eyes after I had had a blurry, farsighted vision in my right eye, and it should be an exciting trip. Mount Shasta is also supposed to ascend into the fifth dimension by July of this year, so for those of you going on the trip, it should be an incredible experience. The cost is just $200 per person and includes free camping, and if you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Finally, my good friend Christine Light sells these wonderful products called Harmonizers to neutralize dirty electricity. And if you're interested, please visit her website at www.quickrestoreharmonizer.com. Also, my good friends Billy and Jane Woodard have a wonderful new product called Liquid Gold. It's an amazing product. And if you're interested, please visit their website at www.liquidgoldrx.com/Ted, just my name, Ted Marr, T-E-D-M-A-H-R. Or you can call area code 719-428-9746 for more information. Briefly now, before we go to Simon in England, I'd like to, Nathan, if you could play just a minute or so of that rain song. I'd like to ask everyone listening today, but to please cover Australia with lots of love and light and to pray for further rain for the entire country. They've been getting rain ever since we did our first intention experiment 2 weeks ago, and I want to thank everyone so much for their prayers, which I know have really made a difference to the beautiful people and animals of Australia. So if you could please play that now, Nathan, and then we'll go to Simon in England. Isn't that nice? The visualized rain all over Australia. I know they've been getting lots of rain since we started our intention experiment 2 weeks ago, and it's making a real difference. And also, I want you to all to pray just for a minute here and send lots of love and light to the beautiful people and animals and plants of Australia. It's been a very difficult situation. I don't think they've ever had this many fires all at once in Australia, and I know we've already made a difference, and I want us to continue to send love and light to Australia. So if we could do that now. Wonderful. Thank you so much. And now I'd like to bring on my friend Simon Parks from England. Simon, how are you doing today?
Hello, Ted. Very happy to be with you and the listeners. I'm doing very well, thank you.
Oh, good, good. And I'm so glad your internet's working today. So
yes, it was good. Out for about 4 hours, and it was the router that seemed to be not happy. So
well, the router is fine now, and so we're online. So Simon has a fascinating background. He's had extraterrestrial contact for most of his life. His parents were in intelligence service for both the United Kingdom and the United States, and he brings a unique perspective on things that that no one really else has. I have a whole bunch of questions to ask you, Simon, lots of things I got from your website, but is there anything you'd like to talk about first on my show before we start?
Not really, just that in case it doesn't come up, the interesting news from Russia, where President Putin is looking to change the rules so that he can stay in office over and above how long he would normally be allowed to. So we can talk about that a bit.
Sure. Do you think there's popular support for that in Russia?
I think there's huge support. Mm-hmm. He's incredibly popular. Mm-hmm. Probably just as much to do with the fact that there isn't anybody else to challenge him. You know, there isn't an obvious alternative, and I mm-hmm. think that, good or bad, the fact is that he's a strong personality, and I think Russian people look up to strong leadership. So mm-hmm. I genuinely think he is very popular. I don't think he'll have too much internal dissent to change the law.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wonderful. I think he's done a lot of good things in Russia, including I think he's made GMO foods illegal and GMO crops, genetically modified crops, illegal in Russia. So everything's organic now. Have you heard much about that, Simon?
Yeah, he it's not Monsanto anymore. They've changed their name, but yes, yeah. He threw them out basically, along mm-hmm. with the Rothschild Bank, and he didn't want the GMO foods at all. So mm-hmm. He's got a lot of green credentials, shall we say, and mm-hmm. he's thinking Western leaders are now running full speed trying to increase their green credentials. Mm-hmm. I think people like Putin have been doing it just a little bit longer.
The ironic thing is, when people here in the United States want organic corn, they pretty much have to grow their own, Simon. There are places here, of course, that grow it. But one of the main producers is Romania, which has corn, which they obtained by seed before it was genetically modified from the U.S. many years ago, ironically.
Well, that's interesting. Is it true, Ted, that there are some states in the U.S. that you are not allowed to grow your own food?
I haven't heard that, but I have heard some crazy laws. I've had heard that in the state of Oregon, for example, they prohibit people from gathering rainwater for their own personal consumption. Now, I don't know how they'd enforce a law like that if they had a police state where they'd go all around and police every roof in the state. But I have heard of different laws like that, which I find incredible, frankly.
Ted, that's probably a good law. That's to stop you drinking all the chemtrails that have fallen into the rainwater.
Well, that's true. I hadn't thought about that. That's true. That's true. Oh, we have some questions, by the way, from some listeners on chemtrails, but I'll get to that a little bit later. But one of the things I saw on your website today was about madness in Iran and the U.S. And I'd love to help you explain some of your posts. You said the real power behind the government in Iran arrests a guy who filmed the plane crashing.
Yeah, it's not terrible.
Yeah, and I'd also read anyway that the plane was actually shut down by an Iranian missile. Is that true by mistake?
Two missiles. When the news broke, I can't say that I'd been shown, but I was made aware that I think it was from the National Reconnaissance Office that the satellites had shown on an infrared two launches, probably mm-hmm. about 20 to 25 seconds apart, mm-hmm. and the red blob when they sort of detonate. Now, the type of missile that was used doesn't actually hit the target and explode. It has what we call a proximity fuse, and so it explodes close to the aircraft. Now, that was detected, and the Iranians were saying, no, they hadn't shot it down, and mm-hmm. America shared that intel both with Canada and Great Britain, mm-hmm. and still the Iranians said no, they hadn't done it. And then America, through diplomatic channels, said, well, we'll release the secret satellite footage, and that tipped the balance. So the aircraft was hit by one missile, which didn't actually cause that amount of damage. It was a second missile that did. Mm-hmm. What I find a little bit disconcerting is that the Iranians thought that passenger jet was a cruise missile. Now, I actually believe that. I believe mm-hmm. that's the truth. And that mm-hmm. tells you the level of training or the level of equipment is so poor that they mm-hmm. can't tell the difference between a very big passenger jet and a cruise missile. That's mm-hmm. dreadful. Absolutely dreadful.
Wow. Well, there's sanctions now, aren't there, on Iran from the United States. So that must be hurting the economy and, by extension, the military, too.
The sanctions, there already were sanctions. President Trump, when he took over from Obama, placed sanctions on. And you're right, Ted, they've just ramped them up. Mm-hmm. But I think that the Revolutionary Guard will probably still get their funding. But yes, I think the ordinary people are suffering. Isn't it always the case? Yes, Iran is under economic constraint, and quite right too, because any country that shoots down a passenger aeroplane and then denies it, that's the point, denies it, before forced to tell the truth, that shows you that it's very corrupt. What I then said, Ted, just to save you going on, was that and then you've got the House basically trying to pass a law saying to the president, you can't take any action against Iran. So you've got the House saying to a president, we want to tie your hands behind your back. And then you've got a country like Iran that's shooting down passenger airplanes. That's why I said on my post, it's madness in two countries. Totally mad.
Right, right. The Iranians could look at that action by the House as a way for further license to do really anything they want. Because they know that the House may try to stop President Trump from responding to any threats. So,
well, it's ridiculous, isn't it, that you are in a game of poker with another country, and one of your teammates is trying to stop you. I mean, it just absolutely doesn't make any sense. I think that even people who don't like President Trump will be very alarmed. Because it's not about President Trump, it's about the office of president. It's about the Pentagon. It's about all of these issues that the American citizens look towards if their country is threatened. Now, let's not forget that the Iranians launched conventional non-nuclear ballistic missiles, and six or seven of them hit American camps. President Trump announced that nobody had been hurt. That was a truthful announcement because nothing had happened. But a number of hours later, half a dozen service personnel went down with concussion effects. So although all the American troops went down to the bunkers in these bases, the force of these rockets was so great that they have concussion injuries. Now, this is a country that's launched missiles against an American facility. And you've got the House saying to its president, you know, we don't want you getting involved. I mean, that's why it's gone beyond politics. You know, what is the president there to do? The president is there to dictate on foreign policy. It's not the House's job. That's the president's job. And the president will always talk to the Pentagon, always. It's a fool if he doesn't. And the reality is that you don't send signals to a potential enemy saying, oh, it's okay. If you want to drop a bomb on us, that's absolutely fine. So there'll be a lot of people who don't like President Trump who cannot agree with what the House is doing, because it has to be an American first. Never mind whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. You have to be American. And this is anti-American. And I just think it's just madness. But anyway, I put the post out and we'll see what happens.
You know, I'm not comparing the Iranians to Germany in the 30s, but we all know what happened back in, what was it, 37 or 38, when Chamberlain did an appeasement with Hitler on Czechoslovakia. That was just a carte blanche to open the door for Hitler came over and conquered more countries. I'm not saying the Iranians would do that, but the message here is that pretty much do what they want to do without any worry about responses. So,
That was 1938.
38, okay.
It cost Chamberlain his job. And that's why the Democrats have got to be incredibly careful, because if you appear to be anti-America, anti the defense of America, it will cause them to lose votes come the election.
Right. Well, this is a time of truth, as you know, Simon, and more and more truth is coming out. I think maybe that's why the Iranians couldn't hide the fact that they did shoot it down. And that brings up another point. You know, here in the United States, we don't get much information at all about what's going on in Iran, Simon. Have there been protests against the government that you know of? Because we don't get much information here about that.
That there have been surprisingly large numbers of demonstrations, and I was very much surprised, because although for decent people it's absolutely almost impossible to believe, but it is true that the Iranians use live ammunition on the demonstrators. They've killed about 1,500 demonstrators in recent months, shooting live ammunition into the crowd. And what you guys don't know was the top university in Tehran, the top university, the Revolutionary Guards painted the stars and stripes on the path, on the road up to the school, and they wanted to get all the school kids or the university kids to walk over the stars and stripes as a political gesture about walking on the flag. And there have been some leaked photographs showing all the students refusing to do it and walking around the sides, not wanting to walk on the American flag. Now, that's unheard of. Now, that means that I know nobody else is going to agree with me at the moment, but there is the chance of regime change in Iran. I actually think for the first time, for a very long time, there's the chance of regime change if the sanctions can be walloped up and some proper diplomatic work done. There is a chance here because lots of people lost their brothers, their sisters, their uncles, their aunties on that aeroplane, and no lies from Tehran government will hide it. They'll know that loved ones have been lost, and they'll know through the internet that their own side shot the plane down. So here's a real chance, I think, for regime change in Iran.
Didn't Lord Acton say something like, those who ignore the lessons of history are bound to repeat them? And the reason I say that is because there's a famous case in 1905 with Tsar Alexander, who, when confronted with a group of peaceful protesters, for protesting for food and jobs in St. Petersburg, in Leningrad, the Tsar Nicholas shot them all, just killed a whole bunch of them, much like the Iranians have done now. And there was a regime change. It took some time. Of course, we know that resulted in the 1917 October Revolution, which brought in the Communist Party in Russia. That could happen in, I'm not saying it would become communist, but I'm saying there could be certainly a regime change if they keep this up.
Well, also think back to the days of France, the French Revolution, where initially were shot, and where a system does not give ground, then the masses will, you know, take action. So the art of politics is to be able to see where your audience are going and to go with them. But of course, there are some regimes that they're just incapable of doing that, and that's why they'll be swept away. And I think that that's likely at some point.
Right, right. A friend of mine, another psychic, told me last year, he said that if you look at corrupt regimes in the last century and in history, they don't last a long time. Only the good governments last a long time. But generally speaking, the dictatorships, the ruthless tyrannical governments, they don't, in comparison, they don't last a long time. And if that holds true with Iran, they won't last a long time with this kind of action against their people.
Yes, because if you're that way inclined, you came to power through a combination of democracy and violence. So you're always thinking that you're going to be toppled. You're always thinking that you did it, so someone's going to do it to you. And that means it's a destabilized government from day one. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you come from a democracy, that generally speaking, you know, you can see the full term of your office out, they are going to last.
Mahatma Gandhi once said, an eye for an eye, if you carry that world out worldwide, we'll leave the whole world blind.
He's quite right.
So, yeah, he was a fascinating fellow. Yeah, I do talk to him. He's a great man. Well, you called it total madness. And also, I want to use this to lead into the 5G system, which I consider also total madness. And you had a fascinating video on your website, Simon, on the 5G BioShield with Jock, if I pronounce this correctly, two scientists, Jock Barr and Bear and Professor Lekovich.
I hope I pronounced that. This is going to get you. Go on, say it. Say his
name. Okay, Lakevitz, is that
well done.
Close?
That's good enough. Well done.
I hope he's not listening. I hate to mess up people's names, but anyway, he was a quantum physicist and inventor. And I wanted to put out their website briefly now so that people can investigate their work. It's www.5, and then G as in George, and then BioShield, BioShield.com. But tell me about your work with them, and then we can go on some other topics. It's just fascinating. I listened to their video, and it was really, really a well-done video, Simon.
Yes, I asked them to do it, and we couldn't get a good internet connection, so we went round that route. What we were looking for, we have Professor Lakevitz, who was from Serbia, and Dr. Jacques Bauer, who's a chemist, and Lecky, as we call him, Lecky, he likes to be called that. He is a professor. Mm-hmm. And they approached me because they had these anti-5G sticks, and they said, because of, you know, my spiritual organization, Connecting Consciousness, they wanted to make it available. And so I've been promoting it, and the deal I've got is if anybody buys one of these anti-5G sticks through my website,
right,
it is buy one, get one free.
That's fantastic. Wow, that's fantastic.
Absolutely fantastic. But they have to come through my website. If they don't come through my website, then the other, it doesn't detect them as being a member of my organization. So mm-hmm. if somebody wants to, you know, get this protection, they go through my website. Now, the initial logo on these sticks is St. George and the Dragon, and I like that because that's, St. George killing the reptilian.
Sure.
So that's from a personal dig. But in February, anybody is going to be able to get them with our logo on. That's Connecting Consciousness. They're going to be built with our logo. So if you buy one through my website now, you're going to get a St. George and the Dragon one. Mm-hmm. But will then receive a free one with my Connecting Consciousness logo. And the idea is that you keep one in the house to protect your house, the bubble of protection around your house, and the other one you keep on your person, or you put it in your car. So you're protected while you're out, but you've got one, you know, you have kids at home, or you've got some animals at home. So you keep the house protected and yourself. And I was able to strike this deal with them because these scientists are greatly believing in what I've created with Connecting Consciousness, and they want to support not just me, but they want to support the membership. So it's a fantastic deal, and I'm really grateful to them.
You know, one of the things that Lucky, I think you called him his nickname.
Yeah,
he's something he said in the YouTube, in the video, was very interesting. He said that he was in traditional science at this university up until maybe 10, 12 years ago, and then he started opening up to new ideas. And the BioShield itself is based upon his own opening up to what reality really is, because he's had to change his worldview of what reality is all about. And you have to do that in order to, he had to do that, both of these scientists had to do that in order to make an effective device to protect people against the 5G system. He said you had to change your view of what reality is, and based upon quantum physics and quantum mechanics. I'm sure you've talked to him about, has he said much about that to you, Simon, regarding how they work?
Two things. One of the questions that I asked him to answer was, you know, you're a regular scientist. Both of them are regular scientists.
Right.
So why are you producing something that is against the status quo? Why aren't you doing what the system wants you to do? And this leads into the answer to the second part, which is basically he looked at the science. And remember, he's a professor. You have to be a doctor. And then if you superior enough, you can go on and become a professor. And he looked at, thought, this is all wrong. The results he's getting and the work he was doing, he understood that the whole concept that is taught in university is wrong. And so he withdrew from funded science, regular funded science, and he started to do his own investigations, his own experiments. And as he spiritually woke up, he combined his creations with that spirituality, and that is why he's separate from the control system.
Well, that's very...
So sorry, don't mean to be rude and interrupt. I have asked him, and unfortunately his reply, not surprisingly, is I have a patent on it, it's secret, and I can't share it because people in China will just try and copy it straight up.
Of course. Okay. Of course. My goodness. Well, there is something there I want to share with you. William Tompkins he passed away, I think, about 2 years ago, a year and a half, 2 years ago, Simon. And he was a scientist involved in the secret space program here in the United States. And what he said when the U.S. Navy was picking scientists and officers to work in their secret space program, they didn't want people with traditional PhDs in physics. They instead wanted intelligent people who had a brain, could think out of the box, but they didn't want people who were trained in traditional physics because that would limit them. They wouldn't understand the concepts for space travel and the technologies that they were dealing with in kind of like the 5G BioShield, probably, that like these two professors that you've been dealing with, they had to step basically out of the box in order to create this wonderful new technology. But this triggered this interview I had with William Tompkins a couple of years ago, where he said that the U.S. Navy did not want people with traditional degrees. They wanted intelligent people, but those who were open to new ideas. And they didn't want people in traditional physics because they said that would be limiting. They couldn't work with them.
And that doesn't just work in the military. I know because I have what's loosely called dyslexia. I know, I can't remember the name of the company now, but it's over 20 years ago, a company that was in the US, and it was putting in air conditioning pipes for all things, whether it's a big store or whether it's a housing complex or what have you, all the utilities, not just the pipes but the cables, and they specifically went and recruited people with dyslexia because they said that people with dyslexia, your brains are wired differently, so when you're presented with a problem, you don't look at it in the way that you've been trained by the university. You look at it in a completely different way. Now, so it's not just the military. Other people who've woken up to this fact understand that there are certain people that will look at a problem and have a unique solution to it, even though five guys have spent 3 months staring at the same damn thing, and they can't get an answer for it. So the military, military are just following the private sector, the corporates have been doing for a long time.
I want to share a story quickly from Albert Einstein. When he was growing up, he was called Brainy Boy. But the funny thing is that he found school very boring. And when he was growing up, he almost flunked out of school because what he would do, he would, rather than listen to the teachers go on and on and on about, you know, traditional subjects, he'd like to stare out the window and daydream. And that daydreaming led him to MC equals MC squared and quantum mechanics and all kinds of wonderful things. But he said that he would not have been able to do it if he hadn't been able to daydream and go off out of the beaten path and think outside of the box.
Yeah, I've always wondered how much his wife played on that. I think that his wife actually was also quite influential in some of his work. Mm-hmm. Remember that Einstein initially said that you couldn't travel faster than the speed of light.
That's right.
Towards the latter part of his life, he then went back on that and said, well, actually, I think you probably can. So, again, Einstein was still a product. When you go through math, you're still a product. You're looking for an answer. You'll find the math to quantify that answer. But if you don't look for the answer to start with and you say, this is the result I want, then you are more likely to come to the answer. And I think that in his later life, Einstein was more free from, you know, he wasn't having to give his lectures, he wasn't having to be looked up to. And I think he would look back on some of the work he did and begin to pull it apart a bit. So I think that there's a whole, and 2020, this year, is as pivotal as 2012 was. This is a turning point, primarily for the United States of America. 2020 is absolutely key, and I'm not just talking about the 3rd of November, the election, I'm talking separately to that.
Right.
There is going to be the most important shift taking place in the US this year, 2020, just as there was 31st of December 2012. So a very exciting time. And what happens, excuse me, what happens in America feeds out to the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And I wanted to tell you, both from Professor Einstein and from President Kennedy, as well as Mahatma Gandhi and other great spirits, we're getting spiritual help on the other side. So if you meditate and ask them for help, they definitely want to help. I know that Professor Einstein and President Kennedy are both working on the other side for world peace, and we're not going to have another world war. Sure, the negatives would love it if we had World War III, but it's not going to happen. And I want everyone to remember that. And I agree with you, Simon, 1,000%, that this is a pivotal year. And as Mahatma Gandhi has said, what you do today determines what the future is. And so it's a good time to be alive. Even though there's challenges, it's a good time to be alive and to make the world a better place.
Well, I agree. I think there are small wars, small issues, they're on the cards, mm-hmm. but anything very big or very large, no, that's not on the horizon, not on the horizon at all.
One of the things that my spirit friends tell me on the other side, and I want to run this by you, Simon, is that we are all spiritual beings, and we're very powerful too. We can create a beautiful world if we want to. And so this goes, going back to Australia now with the fire, tragic fires here the last couple of weeks. This is the third week I've done it. We've done intention prayers for rain in Australia. And there's all, I know, not just the programs I've had, but thousands of light workers, millions of people around the world have sent prayers to Australia for rain. And now they've had tons of rain in the country. I think it shows you that we can create a much better and happier planet if we work at it and think positively about it.
The trouble with industrialized nations, and I include Great Britain, obviously, and the United States and many others, is that we tend to forget our connection to the planet. Now, if you look at native North American Indians and other Inuit groups, they would have a rain dance. Now, they knew that if they wanted to call in water, they had to do a special ceremony, a dance, but they would have the meditation and the intent. Now, they understood it. But the problem is, when you have your motor car and you have your laptop and your job and all the rest of it, you become, if you allow yourself, separated from the planet. And I think what's happening is, as consciousness is growing, people are seeking to get back in tune. And that's why people would, if they could, they'd leave the city and go to the rural areas, because they are missing the connection with the planet. And as this connection grows and as our consciousness grows, people have more and more influence. And so I've no doubt that meditation can bring rain to Australia, and already has done so.
I couldn't agree with you more, Simon. Last October, I went to India at the request of the BK Kumaris, a wonderful meditation group, and I spent a week meditating. And I recommend it to everyone to try to meditate every day, and also to spend some time in nature. Even if you're in the middle of a city, try to find a city park and spend some time in nature. Mother Earth is there, and she'll give you the strength and energy you need to better your life, and also make the planet a better place too. You had another post on your website, Simon, regarding the global 5G protest day. Wow, what an amazing sight. My goodness, there's the events planned are, well, there's too many to talk about. I mean, it's just all over the world. I'd love your comment on that, Simon. I guess this goes into our intention to make the planet a better place.
The important thing here is that this is an organic movement. There isn't one leader. There isn't one organization. What's happened is that a number of groups have reached a critical mass, who now are ready to express themselves. And my own Connecting Consciousness London group had a meditation, you know, penciled in for their own meeting, and they've cancelled that because they're going to go as a group down to Hyde Park, where the London meeting is going to be held. So my London group of Connecting Consciousness have decided themselves that they wish to physically take part. And I think that there are a number of cities across the globe where people will show their solidarity and will increase consciousness. I think it's just the beginning.
I think you're right. And I wanted to tell everyone that's for January 25th, 2020. And it's just all over the world. They have a Stop 5G Global Protest Day on Facebook. Let me see. If you search it, you'll be able to find it there. Their website is Stop, S-T-O-P, the number 5, and then ginternational.org/5G-protest-day. So if you search it, you'll be able to find it.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, I you know, a lot of countries, I know that South Korea instituted a 5G network, I believe it was last year, certain places in South Korea, and so many people complained of health problems and animals and birds were dying that they stopped it. They had to stop it because they were afraid of liability and people were complaining. So even in the places in the cities around the world where they've tried to institute 5G, it doesn't work. I mean, and the politicians look foolish because I'm sure the telecom companies have told everyone that it's safe. It's safe. And
well,
it's not safe.
I think the problem we've got here is that unfortunately the previous government in this country, in Great Britain, signed a deal with the Chinese government to put in the 3G and the 4G. And we've got a delegation. We've had a delegation over from America trying to make sure that Britain doesn't work with China anymore. And I think we've got a high-level phone call or something coming in very soon to the British Prime Minister, basically saying if you go down the route with China, that could have diplomatic consequences for your relationship with America. So I think that the problem about 5G is that it's such a special frequency, never mind the health aspects, from a national security point of view, it's not advisable for countries to have that network controlled by a foreign power. That's ultimate.
Right.
Now, that's one aspect. The second aspect, in order to try and stop these health issues, what they're doing is they're running 5G at a very low rate, and then they're just going to try and ramp it up over many months in the hope that people can sort of get used to it. Now, I haven't seen it myself, but I've spoken to people I trust and I know, and they've told me that where they've had it on full power as part of a test, people have had nosebleeds. People have had nosebleeds. And I mean, that's awful, Ted. Terrible.
Right. Well, I know that reading the reports on the internet just a few months ago, they tried to do that, a 5G run in Amsterdam from the airport to downtown. And all these birds started suddenly dying, and people had headaches, got sick, couldn't function. And so the government had to stop it. They said, this is unacceptable. And it's funny you mentioned this, it's like slow poison of ramping it up. Ever heard of the experiment with frogs in water, where you take frogs, and if you put frogs in a pot of water at room temperature, cool water, the frogs will stay. But if you wrap it up, slowly heat it up to the point where they boil, the frogs don't notice, and they boil to death. And so perhaps by ramping it up slowly over a period of months, maybe that's what they're – I don't see it being successful. So I just don't.
No, it can't be successful because, Ted, if it's successful, it means the end of the majority of life on Earth. And
right.
I can tell you this, and you know this anyway, so I'm telling you because you know it, but I'm telling the audience that doesn't matter what your vision of God is, whatever is out there is not going to let it happen to its creation. If God creates created the earth and God created all the people, God would not allow some crazed idiot, madman, to wipe it all out. So that's why it's not going to happen.
Right. I agree. Yeah, I agree, Simon. I've got some questions from listeners here. We've got about 12 minutes. My goodness, the time has gone by fast. We're having so much fun. And the question that I had was from Maria in Munich, Germany, and she has a follow-up question. She said, is there a spiritual war going on in the afterlife, which I thought was an interesting question, because you talked about before about not to go to the light, but instead asked to go to the source, the creator. I'd love your comments on that, by the way.
That's a really interesting question. Let's separate that. The light is an artificial device. That means that's manipulated by an overlord, a negative force. That's not where the debate is. There isn't a war going on in the afterlife. There is a debate. If you look at the true afterlife, there are a number of points of view, and one of them, not least, is how much should they become involved in the situation on Earth? In other words, was for a long time the case that they should just leave well enough alone, but it became so critical, and that they realized that what happens here has a knock-on effect elsewhere, so it was decided to start to come down and give some support. So it's not a war. I wouldn't call it a war. A very hot debate, a very hot argument.
My friends in the Galactic Alliance have told me that there are actually 40 planets in this solar system, not 8 or 9, but actually 40, if you include the other planets in the solar system, Simon, in the other dimensions. And if the Earth, if we managed somehow to blow ourselves up, I don't think we will, but if we did, that would affect all these other 40 planets in this solar system, as well as other planets, not only this universe, but also other universes as well, because we're all linked together. That's what they've told me. So we're more important than we think we are in this planet for taking good care of ourselves and the planet too.
In law, particularly in Great Britain, less so in America, but particularly in Great Britain, we have what we call the law of precedent, which is something happens and you say, well, in 1880, the same thing came up and this is what happened, so we'll do the same thing now.
Right.
If humanity allowed itself to be destroyed on this planet, a precedent is set that across the dimensions would begin to put pressure on other planets to follow suit. This is the point. And so it's vital that we don't, because as long as we can stay true and we stay healthy, then the precedent we're giving everyone is, you've got to see it through, you've got to fight it through, because you're going to come out good at the end. And so that's the real key here. We are all interlinked, not just in this realm, but in all the other realms as well.
Right, absolutely. I think it's important to remember what President Kennedy's told me. He said that we are all one. And once we fully realize that, there will be no more wars and no more conflicts, because basically, if we are all one, then fighting and with each other basically is fighting against yourself, which really doesn't make any sense.
Oh, that's so true, Ted. That's so true. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just finishing my second book now, called Journey to the Other Side. I'm talking to angels and other benevolent entities, and it'll be published in Germany in a couple of months. I'll let you know. I'll send you a copy when it's finished. But it's I'll do that. Simon, I'd like to have you have a copy. I have another question that just came in from Joe in St. Louis. Thanks, Joe, for this. He said, chemtrails, when will they be stopped? And are there any good chemtrails? Or are they all bad?
That's a really interesting question. I think when they first started, their intention was for good when they first started. And then I think they were hijacked, and the whole point of them is frankly to weaken the human race, to take control of the human race. It would be possible if you had the technology to have such a tiny nano objects in your own body that could actually operate to a frequency, and you could literally be taken over, like controlled. I know it sounds pretty crazy, but that was right. one of the plans that the dark forces were working on. So chemtrails are actually reducing in many places at the moment. There are some areas that are still being hit terribly, but a lot of reports I'm getting over the last 3 months have reported a substantial drop in many locations, and that's very interesting, and I think that that means something's happening at a higher level.
Well, you know, when I was growing up as a child in the Seattle area in the United States, I remember the skies, Simon, to be blue, sometimes very deep, beautiful blue. But it took a couple decades of chemtrail spraying. But now in the summertime, when I look up at the sky, Simon, it's this silvery, whitish kind of color, and the blue's no longer there. Have you experienced the same thing in the UK?
Yes, I'm a keen fossil collector. I think what you guys call a rock hound. And I remember between 1971 and 1973, there was a particular chalk quarry that I used to go to. And I'd go during the summer holidays, or I'd go during the weekends. And I remember June and July looking up at the sky, and it wouldn't, sometimes there'd be no cloud in the sky, and it would be a most beautiful blue, almost like a space blue, beautiful blue.
Sure.
Not a single chemtrail ever in the early 1970s. You get the vapor trail, a genuine condensation trail, but you'd never ever see anything nasty. And I'm of that generation. Now, kids 20 years old, they know no different. And when they to them, they haven't got the blueprint that I've got or my age. So I'm hanging on to that thought, and I want to recreate that back, because the sky actually should be beautiful. It shouldn't be poisoned by man-made objects.
One of the few countries on the planet which doesn't allow chemtrails is Costa Rica and Central America, and I was there last year. And I'll send you some pictures, and I took pictures of the sky, and they still have that beautiful blue there.
Wow. And
one of the few. Yeah. One of the few. Yeah, it's a very pretty place. The Costa Ricans themselves abolished the military in 1947, and 25% of their GDP is spent on the environment, with another 25% spent on healthcare. And they have, I think, the highest standard of living in Central America as a result. So it's an interesting country. A lot of people from America, Canada, the UK live there. They've moved there.
I was going to say, I would think a lot of people would retire there, wouldn't they?
They have, yeah, they have actually, and the cost of living's low.
Wow.
They have their problems, but it shows you what can be done if you make the right spending priorities. And
So they obviously don't fear invasion then, Ted. They don't fear another South American country coming in to take them over then.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Yeah, absolutely not. It's a beautiful place. Like I said, they have their issues, but I've been there a couple times. Everyone's friendly, crime rate's low, very high standard of living, and it's you feel the difference when you're there. Yeah, you really feel the difference when you're there. Or if you go to Canada, Canada only spends 9% of their GDP on the military, where the U.S. spends 57% of its GDP on the military, and Canada has double the standard of living with half the crime rate. They have their issues too. I'm not saying it's perfect, but if you rearrange your spending priorities, you can create a you can create a higher standard of living with lower crime rates and protect the environment and provide a good standard of living for people.
It's true. The only difficulty is, of course, the United States was in winning the Second World War. And when they won the Second World War, they put themselves as the – I know President Trump doesn't use the term anymore, but they put themselves as the policemen of the world, and they got sucked into this vicious cycle of got to have a big military because we've got to police the world. And only recently, with President Trump, who wants to come back on that and say, we need a powerful military, but I don't want to rule the world. So it's very interesting that America is paying the price for its position since 1945.
Sure. Simon, it's been so much fun talking to you today. We've got about 20 seconds left, my friend, or 30 seconds left. I want to give you the rest of the time. Sorry, I didn't tell you earlier.
Okay, well, just to say that 2020 is a really important time, and it is the issue for America. And I've always said over the last 10 years, I know I've not been on your show for 10 years, but I've always said that there are two most important countries in the world where change is going to be made, Britain and the United States. Well, 2020 is pivotal for the U.S., no question about that.
Wonderful. Simon, thank you so much again for coming on today. And my listeners, thank you. Thank you so much for listening. Please stay tuned for my next guest. Thanks, Simon. Have a beautiful day.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you, Simon. Bye-bye.